My dear brethren, I greet you as you are assembled here in the Salt Lake Tabernacle in hundreds of other meeting places around the world. We're so pleased with the able leadership provided by the priesthood bearers of the church at all levels. As we magnify our priesthood callings, I hope we will always remember that the church is support to the family. The church does not and must not seek to displace the family, but is organized to help create and nurture righteous families as well as righteous individuals. In this connection, brethren, we hope you will be mindful of your needs and numerous, and to preserve some of that precious time for your own wives and families. Be mindful, too, of your associates in the work of the church so that time is not taken unnecessarily from them that their families avoid the tendencies to crowd too many meetings in on the Sabbath day. When holding your regular meetings, make them as spiritual and effective as is possible, meetings need not be hurried nor rushed, for they can be planned in a manner that permits the other sacred purposes to be accomplished without difficulty. The consolidated meeting schedule was implemented by largely in order to avoid several more Sabbath hours for the families. Therefore, take time to be together as families, to converse with one another, to study the scriptures, to visit friends, relatives, and the sick and the lonely. This is also an excellent time to work on your journals and your genealogy. Do not neglect these things, as you do not now have the blessings of the living in the traditional families. These are special souls who often have special needs. Do not let them become isolated from you or the activities of your ward or your branch. My dear brethren, especially those of you who preside over stakes and wards or branches, I should like to reiterate a plea I made to you in the October priesthood meeting. Please take a particular interest in strengthening and improving the quality of the teaching in the church. The Savior charged us with feeding his sheep. I fear it sometimes that all too often many of our members come to church, sit through a class or a meeting, and then they return home having been largely uninformed. It is especially unfortunate if these happen at a time when they may be entering a period of stress, temptation, or personal or family crisis. We all need to be touched and nurtured by the Spirit, and effective teaching is one of the most important ways this can happen. We regularly do vigorous enlistment and reactivity, it works to get members to come to church, but often do not watch over what they receive when they do attend. Brethren, as you may remember, while speaking this morning, I referred to our recent visit to a Caribbean island and the wonderful missionary work that was being done there by some of the brethren who are associated with the 70s in the church. The years since we opened up those islands for the preaching of the gospel, one incident occurred at Santo Domingo that I did not have time to tell you about. I think I should like to relate it to you now. We held a lively general meeting in Santo Domingo, the capital city of the Dominican Republic. Nearly 1,600 souls were there, which was new, of course, and we did not realize that there were so many that were joining the church down there. About an hour after the close of the general meeting, a busload of 100 from the Puerto Plata branch arrived at the meeting place. They had been delayed because of their car broke down. Under ordinary circumstances, they could have made the trip in about 4 hours, but they finally arrived after 10 p.m., to find the hall dark, the building empty. Many wept because they were so disappointed. All were converts, some of them few months and others only weeks and days. Sister Kimball and I had gone to bed after a long and tiring day. Upon learning of the plight of these faithful souls, my secretary knocked on the door of our hotel room and woke us up. He apologized for disturbing us, but thought that I would want to know about the matter. The arrivals had permitted dictated a personal message to them. However, I felt that that wouldn't be good enough and not fair to those who had come so far under such trying circumstances. Two 100 people jammed into this bus, which broke down and could not continue its journey. I got out of bed and dressed and went downstairs to see the members who had made such an effort, only to be disappointed because of engine trouble. The saints were still weeping as we entered the hall, so I spent more than an hour visiting with them. They then seemed relieved and satisfied and got back on the bus. And for the long ride home, they had to get back by morning to go on their work and to school. Those good people seemed so appreciative of a brief visit together that I just felt we couldn't let them down. As I returned to my bed, I did so with a sense of peace and contentment in my soul. Brethren, we all have opportunities to render service to others. That is our calling and our privilege in serving the need of others. We are mindful of the words of the Savior. Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto me, done one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Brethren, may we counsel you on another matter close to us. As we see contributions from our saints for either and for tithes and fast offerings, let us speak more often than we sometimes do in terms of blessings which will flow to us as we keep the commandments and do our duty. From time to time, we hear reports of unwarranted pressures which accompany the financial requests made of our church members. This is a matter of grave importance. In these days of inflation and emotional and political unrest, our people everywhere are being met with difficult and trying experiences on every hand. Prudence and wisdom not only suggest but dictate that we take some steps to strengthen and husband our resources. We must not overburden our people. With this in mind, the First Presidency has prepared a letter which was released yesterday, in which it was set out the concerns of the First Presidency and the Quorum of the Twelve to the relative high increases in financial requirements, burdens on the members of the church. In addition to their payment of tithing and fast offerings, with our letter we prepared some guidelines to assist ward, stake, and mission leaders in complying with the council and direction given. We have instructed the regional representatives of the 12 to give this matter immediate attention and implementation. Let us, as individuals, as families, and as wards and stakes, learn to live within our means. There is strength and salvation in this principle. Someone has said that we are rich in proportion to that with which we can get along without. As families and as a church, we can and should provide that which is truly essential for our people, but we must be careful not to extend beyond that which is essential or for purposes which are not directly related to our families. Welfare and a basic mission of the church. I love you, my brethren, you young men and you older men, and I am grateful for your faith and your devotion to the cause of righteousness, the cause of the Master. I express my affection for you and leave my blessing with you, and I pray our Heavenly Father to bless you and your families, your homes, and your work. God bless you. Peace be with you. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.